Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Welcome to an HBO podcast from the HBO Late Night series, Real Time with Bill Maher.
Start the clock. Good afternoon. At the tone, time will be real time.
You are, let me tell you something, you are... you are surprisingly fresh for a week that included a lot of heavy drinking. It was Cinco de Mayo yesterday. And also Trump is going to be the Republican nominee. So they don't make Corona strong enough for that. That's right. Did you see Donald Trump yesterday? He, for Cinco de Mayo, he tweeted out a picture of him eating a taco bowl and said, happy Cinco de Mayo. I love Hispanics. and they love him. Oh, they love him. He's at all the children's parties here in L.A. as the piñata. But... But, you know, they said it couldn't happen. They said it wouldn't happen. It happened. Yeah. Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee for president. And, you know, I have taken a lot of crap over the years for saying this is a stupid country. I should have trademarked it. Everybody keeps saying, it's a reality show. Yeah, Fear Factor. I feel like I know how Dracula got to run Transylvania. They had primaries, there was debates, and then the other vampires just couldn't stand Ted Cruz. I mean, yeah, that's what happened. It all ended Tuesday night in Indiana. Ted Cruz bit it bad. I mean, the Republicans, all they had to do was come up with one motherfucker who was more popular than Donald Trump, and they couldn't do that. If you're wondering why even Republicans could not stand Ted Cruz, he said at his concession speech, I am not making this up. This is why we hate politicians. He said, just a few days ago, two young kids, 4 and 6, handed me 2 envelopes full of change, all of their earnings from their lemonade stand. Right. A 4-year-old is concerned with the direction of the country. Here, Mr. Cruz, take all my money, use it to defeat Donald Trump. He's not a true conservative. The 6-year-old said he would have done it sooner, but he was waiting to see if Bloomberg got in. Now, I am beginning to think this whole election is taking place inside the mind of a disturbed child. And that child, of course, is Dr. Ben Carson. Yes, Gentle Ben was, he's been appointed to find Trump's vice president. We're at the point now where the crazy people are appointing each other to do jobs. So on the short list, of course, is Chris Christie. He was the first on the Trump train. Trump and Plump. It'll be quite a quite a campaign. And Chris Christie has already assured Donald Trump that he does not have any skeletons in the closet. Baby back ribs in the bed, yes. No skeletons. I mean, this is the reality we're living in. They're talking about Trump's vice president. He's already talking about what he's going to do in his first 100 days. He said, by the end of his first 100 days, the wall with Mexico will be designed, immigration ban on Muslims will be in place, and the repeal of Obamacare will be in motion, and all of us will be in Canada. And by the way, there may be quite a few Republicans with us. The party is split in a way I have never seen before. The Republican establishment is not necessarily going along supporting Donald Trump. He's racist, he's sexist, he's belligerent. There are also some things about him they don't like. Oh, I get it. No, it's true. The last two Republican presidents, Bush Sr. and Bush Jr., they're not going to the convention. The last two nominees, Mitt Romney, John McCain, they don't want any part of it. They're not going to the convention. Lindsey Graham says he won't go, but that's just because he has nothing to wear. And that's nothing to do with politics. No, I mean, Paul Ryan, he is the leading Republican in the country, the Speaker of the House. He is the chairman of the convention. Yesterday said he will not endorse Donald Trump. He said he wants to. He hopes to. He said he's not there yet. He doesn't want to rush into it. This Donald Trump, tell me more. I've not heard enough about... who is this Donald Trump? Like Trump is going to change? This is what magical thinking gets you. When you believe in a talking snake, you believe an orangutan can transform into a statesman. I almost feel sorry for them, but you know what? This is what you get. Republicans spent years whipping their voters into sexist, xenophobic, self-righteous frenzy, and now they're stuck with Donald Trump. It's like finally convincing your wife to have a threesome, and then she brings home a guy. All right, we got a great show. Ann Coulter, Dan Savage, and Nick Gillespie are here. And a little early speaking with the immensely talented Bryan Cranston is backstage, but first up, for the last 11 years, he has run one of the most successful drug treatment clinics in America. Please welcome the founder and CEO of the Cliffside Malibu Treatment Center and co-author of Ending Addiction for Good, Richard Tate. Richard, how are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
Great to have you here.
Thank you.
I think you know why you're here.
Sure.
It's an intervention for me. No, I'm kidding. No, it's because there's an epidemic in America, and it is about drug abuse, and you know more about this than possibly anybody because you yourself were an addict, and then you started a treatment center. You're like the hair club for men guy, but with heroin. So tell us about your drug days and why you didn't find them fun.
I did actually find them fun. Okay.
Right, drugs are fun.
Drugs are
fun. That's the problem.
Right.
No one admits that. Drugs are fun.
Drugs are fun.
And thank you for being here.
No, no I'm... but like anything else, it stops working after a certain period of time.
Especially drugs. There's always this honeymoon period.
That's right.
Some drugs have, like liquor always works.
Sure.
Pot always works, but it does diminish. But there are some drugs, like opiates, we're going to get into, cocaine, where it's like, you only get like 3 months. It's a balloon payment. And then, whoo, it falls right off the chart, right?
Right. Well, the thing about the prescription drug epidemic, it's so bad. When Cliffside Malibu opened in 2005, about 20% of the people that came to us had a problem with prescription opiates. Today it's 90%.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know how I knew it was bad? I was watching the Super Bowl this year, and there was a commercial for opioid-induced constipation.
Right.
I said, wow, because a Super Bowl commercial, the most expensive thing in the world. I said, if this is this widespread, that on the Super Bowl, they're doing ads for people who can't shit because they're on...
Right. No, it's... Well,
and when we talk opioid, what are the actual names of the drugs we're talking about? Oxycontin?
Oxycontin.
Percocet?
Percocet.
Right.
Codeine, fentanyl. Right.
And these constipate you, apparently.
Yes. But right. here's the thing to know. So you've got the heroin over here that's enriching the drug cartels. And then
right.
you've got all this litany of pills that are enriching the pharmaceutical companies. So what they say is don't use this. Use this. Same thing, by the way. Same thing. Just legal heroin.
Well, they always called OxyContin hillbilly heroin.
It certainly is. I mean, I've done heroin. I've done OxyContin. And they're the same thing.
So, same thing.
So I don't think I know. I know. I've done it. Right.
Right.
So, and then you get off that and you get on to heroin light, which is Suboxone. They call it harm reduction. And then.
Like methadone?
Absolutely. It's modern day methadone.
Right.
And then they say, oh, wait a minute. You're not going to be able to defecate. So you've got to use this pill. I actually took a picture of that commercial and put it on my Facebook. It was blown away by it.
Too much information, man.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Hey.
The least of the information. But yeah, I mean, we see this on the news every day that white people are doing heroin.
Right.
And then when you read the background to this, it's because they started on the prescription drug
that's
pills
right.
because, you know, no one wants pain. And of course, who wants pain?
But
nobody wants pain.
That's
but
right.
then they can't afford it, or they get cut off by their doctor. So what do? They go to the drug that, as you just said, is the same thing, which is heroin.
Right. But the thing about this, and I get your point, and it's well taken. The thing about it is you can be black or white, rich or poor, straight or gay. This thing, this epidemic that we've got right now, doesn't discriminate.
Right.
It's killing everybody.
Prince was all of them, and he was on it.
Right.
And look, I mean, look, people get very emotional when their rock stars die. I mean, I was a big Prince fan. We all were.
Right.
And we're not talking out of school. The autopsy report is not back yet, if there ever's going to be one. But it's pretty clear that he was on, I think it was Percocet. He had it on his body when they found him in his house. I've done a lot of drugs too, Doc. Let me tell you something. When you got the drugs on you in your house,
right.
it's one thing when you go out of the house. When you don't think you can make it to the next room, it's like, I don't know, that coffee table is far away. Let me just put these in my bathrobe. That's a serious drug problem.
So here's the important takeaway. Right? We know that he was probably on those opiates for hip pain. We also have reports that he had sleep problems. Sleep medication with prescription opiates is a disaster. It's lethal. You can't take those two at the same time.
Why did he die? Because the opiates slowly sort of suffocate you? They suppress respiration,
right.
Is that right?
Right, but they're not made, these opiates are not made for long-term care. So the CDC just came out and offered up a report in the last, I think, 30 days. And what they said was 3 days to 7 days. That's it.
Right.
So the FDA comes out and says, we like what you just said. Why don't we get all these doctors together and start coaching them up and nip this epidemic in the bud.
Sure.
And what happened was, is the pharmaceutical industry, the lobby, came out and pushed back against it and said,
of course.
Right? It's like all of a sudden they're the AMA lobby,
right?
Right? I mean, they were really concerned.
Well, I mean, it's important to note that America's 5% of the world's population uses 75% of the prescription drugs in the world. That's a pretty amazing statistic.
At least. And what's even more important is that right now, you've got 27 million people in the country who are abusing these drugs. but only 2.5 million were able to get treatment. Mm. And every candidate, the president, the drug czar, everybody thinks we need more treatment. And then there are these local communities, even in California, a liberal place like California, they just introduced a bill, AB 2403, that's going to decimate, I mean, take away thousands of treatment beds that we need.
Let me ask you one last question that's a little broader about society. I mean, I was a kid in the 60s. The drugs were LSD and marijuana, psychedelic, stuff like that.
Sure.
In the 70s, you moved into cocaine and Quaaludes. In the 90s, it was ecstasy. And now it's opiates. What is the fact that opiates is the drug of choice say about our society now as opposed to our society in other decades?
So I think that we are a society that is depressed. We're a depressive society. I don't know if it has to do with
Trump. It all comes back to Trump.
Right, for sure. I don't know if it has to do with income inequality or the lack of opportunity.
Sure.
Or just life on life's terms, because it can be hard sometimes, right?
Capitalism, when you don't ameliorate it with, you know, some things, is pretty rough on people. There's
right.
a lot of losers in society, and that's the way we want it here in America, apparently. But yeah, I get your point.
Well, when you're depressed, you have this type of learned helplessness, if you will, right?
Right?
And when you take a painkiller, they call it painkillers for a reason, and it actually works better on emotional pain than it does on physical pain.
Hmm.
So when you take the painkiller and you're depressed, you go, okay, I'm good. And you're
right.
hooked.
All right. I'll see you after the show at the parking lot. All right. Thank you. I appreciate
you. Thank you.
Right. Let's meet our panel. Terrible things I say. I don't know why I do it. All right. Let's meet our panel. He is the editor-in-chief of Reason.com and Reason TV and co-author of the Declaration of Independence. Nick Gillespie's back with us. Nick, how you doing? He writes the nationally syndicated column Savage Love and hosts the Savage Love Cast podcast. Dan Savage is right back with us. And she is the author of Adios, America, the Left's Plan to Turn Our Country into a third world hellhole. Ann Coulter is over here. Come on, give it up. Remember to send us your questions for tonight's overtime so we can answer them after the show on YouTube. All right, I'm going to break format tonight and start with a clip. This is from our overtime. You know, we do overtime, which is something we do for the internet after the show. If people want to, like, I don't know why they do this, turn off HBO and turn on your computer. But this is from the last time you were on the show. This is when there were many, many, many Republican presidential candidates still in the race. And here's the question that someone asked, and I relate it to you, and here's what happened. Okay, here we are. And which Republican candidate has the best chance of winning the general election?
Of the declared ones right now, Donald Trump.
Well, go ahead. You gloat, eat crow.
You want to get your stock tips from me now?
Yeah, I...
No one ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American people.
Well, a lot of people apparently have. Because a lot of people said he wouldn't even win a primary. So last week, Rob Reiner, who I love, was here, and we ended the show by saying, I think Hillary's going to win in a landslide. And I said, don't say that. So I'm giving you credit for that, and I also want to use you to scare liberals. But I ask you right now, can Trump win the general election?
It's possible. I don't
hear
know.
Hear that?
Wait, you're... You sound a lot less certain. Yeah.
No, I mean... mean, what I would say about Trump is, and that's why I'm so glad it's Trump, I think he will do better than any other Republican could have, as the results of this primary election show. He does represent not only the Republican Party, but large segments of the Democratic Party that has been being ignored. We have been asking for the wall. We have been asking for a decrease in immigration. And time after time, the people rise up, shut down amnesty, throw out Dave Brat beats Eric Cantor, and they can't learn. Well, I think we know now the wall is popular.
First, we have a timeout on immigration. We already have one because our economy sucks worse than Mexico. So there's been net out migration of Mexicans.
Oh,
they're going
nonsense.
Back.
It's true.
That is not
nonsense.
True. Yeah. It is our economy sucks worse than Mexico's.
No, there has been a.
Why don't you move there?
What?
Yeah.
You know what?
No,
because I don't speak the language.
He's wrong about that. Our economy is not worse than Mexico's, but we have 1 million fewer Mexican immigrants.
They're leaving
the country now than we did 7 years ago.
Well, that's what the government says, and the
government says we have 11 million illegals.
Okay.
They're wrong about that too.
All right, but
borders secure.
Can the party win that is so split? I mean. George Will is somebody I've been reading my whole life. I don't always agree with him, but sometimes he's persuasive. He's an amazing thinker. He hates me, by the way, which I love. I wouldn't have it any other way.
I like you even more.
Right. And he said, now, he is against Trump big time. He said, this is a time for prudence, which demands the prevention of a Trump presidency. He says, conservatives have two tasks. The first is to help him lose 50 states. And keep Hillary to one term. How can you win when a party is split this much?
The party is not split. Trump has gotten more votes than anyone else running in a Republican primary. You were talking about a few sore losers.
Not a few.
Now they know how I feel when McCain was running. So I hope they're enjoying it. And by the way, I wasn't as much of a little bitch as George Will is.
But Ann. Bobby Jindal says Donald Trump is a narcissist and he's an egomaniac. I wouldn't want his fingers on the nuclear codes, but he's going to vote for him. Peter King, calls Trump a guy with no knowledge of what's going on, but he's going to vote for him. Rick Perry calls him a cancer on conservatism.
Right, well,
he's going to vote for cancer.
And he offered to be his running mate.
Yeah.
He offered to be cancer's running mate.
Is this
rivals.
Putting country first?
Okay, let's look at what Sanders said about Hillary, point one. But point two, Trump is crushing the primaries. He got half a million more votes than Romney did in Florida. He got half a million more votes in the Republican primary in Florida than the Democrats got. He's the party.
Yeah, okay. Like nobody is going to be, I'm with Jindal. Whatever Jindal wants, I'll do. I mean, these are like loser candidates. But what Trump is good at, and I dislike Trump because he is a perfect Republican. Every one of his points, from the stupid wall to, bombing countries, et cetera, he's just doing exactly what the Republicans have said that we should be doing for a long
Not
time.
Not at all.
Yes.
What the base has been saying,
right.
And they've been ignored.
That's the difference.
And that's the problem for the Republican Party, because they've reached a point where they need to, like Bertolt Brecht said about East Germany, they need to dissolve the base and elect a new one.
Oh, right.
And they can't.
To.
The problem is the base. They've been cranking up, gathering together every rube, racist, nut job, sexist, homophobe in the country, calling them Republicans, and finally they voted for one of their own.
But wait.
But he's the less. He's the least.
I just want you to be. I want you to be the spokesman for Hillary Clinton with that line.
But wait,
that's going to be a big hit. American people who are overwhelmingly voting for Trump.
20%.
No, the GOP base, which is overwhelmingly rubes, idiots, sexists, racists, are overwhelmingly voting for Trump.
Well, look,
the American people are not going to overwhelmingly vote for Trump.
But
I'm with you. I'm a Catholic. I'm not into jinxing things, so I'm not going to say Hillary's going to win in a landslide.
Look, in Massachusetts, 20,000...
But the American people are not the GOP base, which is what you're arguing.
In Massachusetts, no, I'm not. I'm saying in Massachusetts, 20,000 Democrats switch their registration to Republican to vote for Trump. In Pennsylvania, 60,000 Democrats switch their registration to vote for Trump.
And how many of them were monkey wrecked?
This is the thing.
This is the country.
Hillary is widely dislike. She's got like a 55% unfavorability rating. The minute she starts talking, that will go higher. She's awful. I think she's as bad as Trump in different ways. But what Trump has going for him, just as a tactician, he knows next week you've got another episode. and he's going to throw something out there, and he's going to mix it up every time he was written off.
Next week, next hour.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
isn't
I would
it
not.
Fun?
I would not.
It's not fun.
I mean,
it is fun.
The
oh,
odds
come
are
on.
Against him, but I but bet you is... he will run like the greatest, most entertaining campaign of all time.
But this is not entertainment. Yes. This is supposed to be a country.
You make serious points, and you are in full-time.
I know, but I'm not running for president.
No, I know, I'm saying that, but people watch you. They start laughing. In the case of Trump, you're watching because he's fun and entertaining, and then you start thinking, oh, wait, I agree with that.
But wait,
he has 30,000 people at his rallies.
So what? You know, I could let loose a zoo animal, and there would be people...
I don't think you could.
I couldn't?
I don't think there would be 30,000 people coming out and cheering every time he talks about the wall, that zoo animal.
Historically, a lot of people coming to your rallies can be problematic.
Like
not
Obama?
Necessarily a big upside.
Yeah, like Obama.
Okay. Okay, but 20% of Republicans say they will vote for Hillary. And there are Republicans like Kelly Ayotte who say she will not endorse him, but she supports him, which is a little like saying, I'll fuck you, but I won't be seen in public with you. Paul Ryan, as I mentioned in the monologue, this is the titular head of the party.
No, he isn't. He's the speaker of the base.
He's third in line.
He's not hated by the base.
Yes, he is absolutely hated. He's the next Eric Cantor, who was the highest member of leadership ever to lose in a primary.
What you are seeing here, and quite possibly within Anne herself, it's the implosion of the Republican Party.
No, it isn't. It is breaking down.
And by the way, as a libertarian, I can't wait for this to happen because the Republican Party for years has always talked a libertarian line where you want, you know, small government, this and that. And all they have done on every level, on personal liberties as well as wars and on
in terms of regulation, they're not libertarian.
They're terrible. So I want to see it implode. And I hope neither of the two halves come back to life. And then I want to see the Democratic
Party. Let me ask a party.
We're getting rid of the dead wood, is all.
Does it matter to you that Trump is going to crash the markets? Because let me tell you something. What the markets hate, they hate volatility. He is personification of volatility. They hate uncertainty. That's exactly who he is.
He threatened today to default on the U.S. debt.
Exactly. They hate trade wars. They hate debt. He is all those things put together. Right. Who but Donald Trump would threaten to default on our bonds, the one thing that the world buys because they are known to be the safest thing in the world. And he talks about them like he's negotiating with some guy who's putting in a stairway in a building.
He doesn't know what they are.
Right, he's the great businessman, and he doesn't know anything about money. He thinks we can get rid of our debt in 8 years.
If you're born with enough money, you don't really have to know anything about it.
That's so true. He knows about money.
And you're,
well, he doesn't have $10 billion. That's bullshit you bought.
Well, I don't really care, but he sure owns a lot of property that seems to be worth a lot of money. Anyway, I think you're misunderstanding the what you're calling volatility. He's saying unpredictability in foreign policy. And, yeah, okay, we're not going to tell ISIS what we're doing. We're going to negotiate tough with China. I don't think our foreign policy should be based on what Wall Street wants.
Okay, but he's already in a feud with the Speaker of the House. This is not something that the market...
No, he's not. He's been very nice. I think the problem is with the Speaker of the House.
But you also have to understand the Republicans now, the leadership, they have, like, until the convention to kind of negotiate with him a little bit. They have no leverage. He's run the table.
Zero.
So they're going to be like, oh, you know, I'm holding off a little bit. Paul Ryan has already said, I'm not endorsing him yet. You know he's going to. Really do, you know, you don't want H.W. Bush or W. Bush at that convention if you want to win in the fall. Just, I mean, as a straight strategy.
Right, sure.
So he's doing a good job.
Okay, but we're past the part where we're talking
about
winning.
That's like a campaign
donation. Now we're talking about what he's going to do, what this great businessman is going to do. Okay, first we're going to deport 11 million people, so there'll be a lot of openings for nannies and gardeners
and children.
Shortstops.
And their children,
right.
Too, so, yeah.
Okay, that's number one.
And we'll need a police force and the institution of a police state. Unlike anything we've ever seen in this country.
And then China, there's going to be a trade war, so a dildo at Walmart will be $200. But... a small price to pay for making America great again.
Okay, may I answer these?
Yes, please do.
Okay, number one, there's not going to be a police force. All he needs to do is enforce the law on the books. Okay. We're going to have a wall.
Yeah, so what
he's going to tell ICE.
How do you enforce the law on the books without a police force to enforce the law on the books?
We already have ICE. They're being stopped. Last week, ICE released illegal aliens.
How many hundreds of thousands of ICE agents will you have to hire to round up 11
million? You don't need to hire them. Tell them they can do their jobs now.
That is a really
these are laws on the book,
the
and
fact,
I just don't understand.
The only way that this happens is where every one of us, at every time, in every job hire, every job firing, every cross into a new thing, there's going to be a lockdown. There has to be.
Can we back up? Bullshit. Why do we want to throw these 11 million people out of the country? They contribute more to our economy than they take out. They pay more in taxes than they receive in services.
Commit fewer crimes.
Illegal immigrants commit fewer crimes per capita. American-born Americans are 2.5 times more likely to commit a violent crime, 2.5 times more likely to be in prison than illegal immigrants.
Facts.
They're not false facts.
Not
they are fact
facts. Not only
are
they false facts, but even if they are true facts, then you need to go and elect people who will change the laws. And
but
say
your rationale for building
borders,
this giant wall
he's
is
saying is
bullshit.
He's going,
okay.
No, the rationale is he's the commander-in-chief. He protects the borders. Those are the laws. All he's saying is,
okay.
I will
right.
be the first president
must,
who will enforce the law. And I know you all want to pay your maids even less, but most Americans
I don't want a fucking path to citizenship. I just want to give them citizenship.
Okay, all right.
Low-wage workers. That means our salaries go up, your maids' salary goes down.
Please, a path to shut up now. So, listen, we have a tradition here when a primary ends, and obviously Kasich and Ted Cruz said uncle this week, so it is Donald Trump. You get credit for predicting that. But every time this happens here on Real Time, our tradition is we then say a fond goodbye to the people who made it so memorable. And so please help us right now. Say goodbye to the people who made this possibly the most fucked up election ever.
When I was a teenager, I almost stabbed someone.
A lot of people who go into prison straight, and when they come out, they're gay.
Please clap. That's it. Thank you. They're kicking me out the door.
My party is going batshit crazy.
And you know what they say about men with small hands?
I hope the president's watching tonight, because here's what I'd like to tell him. We are going to kick your rear end out of the White House come this fall.
Nobody knows me. It's Kasich. It rhymes with basic.
And the next president of the United States, Ted Cruz.
You know, the amazing thing is that basketball ring here in Indiana, it's the same height as it is in New York City and every other place in this country.
It's a tradition. All right, he is the Oscar-nominated actor who reprises his Tony-winning role as LBJ in the HBO film All the Way, premiering May 21st. Bryan Cranston is over here.
Good to be here.
Look, they love you.
Wow.
You are...
I was giving out free Oxycontin.
Well, they love you because you are a great thespian. I said thespian. But it's true. This movie, I was watching it. First of all the way, it sounds like one of those teen comedies where they lose their virginity.
Yes.
But it's really about LBJ. And so you did this on Broadway.
I did.
Okay. You look practiced in the part. I mean, as far as historical dramas go, I mean, sometimes people get the accent. Sometimes they get the look. And sometimes they get the essence of the person. And I felt you got all three.
Thank you.
I mean, you are LBJ. I felt like Bryan Cranston disappeared, like, within the first 10 seconds.
Well, that's the best thing that anyone could say.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it surprises me. 2.5 hours in makeup, and they start putting it on, and I can see him start to come to the surface.
Right.
And it really helps. Yeah.
So let's edutain the kids.
Yes.
Who are not quite as old as us, about LBJ, because a lot of them, you know, those are just initials in a history book. He came along, of course, he was Kennedy's vice president.
Right.
And then when Kennedy was shot, he took over. And
wait, what?
Yeah. You didn't do the background.
I missed
reading.
That part. I don't.
You just read your lines in
wow,
the script.
Wow, my stuff.
Bullshit. My line. Of course, that's how actors are. No. I always thought that this movie, as I watched it, would be a great companion piece to Spielberg's Lincoln, because they're both about presidents. First of all, they're both entertaining about procedural matters,
right,
which is a very hard thing to do.
Yeah.
But they're both about presidents who saw a brief window, to get legislation passed, both about our original sin of racism, and took that opportunity. And that's what you played.
True. And it almost exactly 100 years after Lincoln,
right,
in 1964, LBJ was able to pass the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And he knew that he would have a honeymoon period after the assassination. There was a period of time that the Congress and the citizens of this country would be all in. We'll do whatever you want. We need to heal.
Because of the sympathy for Kennedy.
The sympathy for
him. Yeah.
And so he knew he had that window of opportunity. And within 6 months, he passed this legendary...
But it was hardly easy.
Oh, no. God, no.
That's the way I remember it, because I was only a child. And,
yeah.
Oh, Kennedy died, so they did whatever he wanted. Hardly.
No.
And, of course, I think what makes me love this movie so much is that when you think of LBJ, you think of the consummate politician.
Oh, yeah.
The arm twister. But what you find out here is that he really believed in it. There was a moral center to him.
Yeah.
He really wanted to be, and of course, as a Southern president,
yeah,
had to be a Southern president who would drag his part of the country out of the past, out of their racist
For
past.
For 100 years, the Dixiecrats had a lock on the
right.
South, and in 1964, that changed it all.
Right. I mean, he tells that story. I mean, you do it in the movie about, I guess, a black person who worked for him, who used to drive back to his ranch, and couldn't go to the bathroom.
Right.
Had to pull over to the side of the road.
Pee in the
field.
Along the side of the road. She had to pee like a dog. That's just not right.
See? Sounds just like it.
Yeah.
You really
He would use any means necessary to get what he needed to get done.
Right.
Back in his day, politics ran on the horse trade. He knew that if I needed something from you, I'm going to find out what you need, and I'm going to make sure we do that. The other thing that was different back then is they often socialized with senators and congressmen from the other
sure.
side. They knew their wives and the kids' names, so that the next day, when it came time to
right.
really iron out a policy, I'm not going to throw this person under the bus. I like him. He has a nice wife. And so, come on, let's figure this out.
Right, that guy, Uncle Dick, who's...
Yeah, Richard Russell, from Georgia.
Right, who was his mentor.
Yeah. And but also, a segregationist.
Right. But they used to have dinner together every week.
All the time.
So that made a difference,
yeah.
So I hear that you do, I've heard of a double take. And once in a while, it's rare, but you see someone do a triple take. I understand, Bryan Cranston, that you can do a quadruple take. And I said, when I heard it, I said, this is not possible. I mean, he's a great thespian.
You missed it.
Oh. No one can do a quadruple take.
What? And a spit take at the same time.
Okay. I did miss it.
Twice.
So interesting part of this movie is that the people who were, you know, having to, in their view, give up their way of life by when the 1964 Civil Rights Act was passed, felt that they were being discriminated against, that they were the ones who were being made to suffer. And it reminded me so much of the gay marriage argument. So many, I think, people in this country who were against that, the Kim Davises of the world, were like, what about our rights? What about our right to take away your rights? And, yeah. And you see that these these things aren't new.
The biggest argument that the South had, the Dixiecrats, were, take time. We don't need to change things quickly.
It's only been 100 years.
Yeah. It just 100 years.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, it was something that LBJ needed to risk. He knew he had to risk that. And he did. He risked it. He lost the support of all the Dixiecrats come 1964.
Right. Well, what do you think about the fact that bathrooms, because we were talking about the bathroom thing, is again, an issue in this country, that transgender people somehow have got risen to the top of the political charts about where they can go to the bathroom.
And Target, because you know, groups are running, the American Family Association has said it's collected over 1 million signatures online to, you know, get back at Target for saying you can shit where you want.
And it's...
which is they really a kind of a good choice.
They couldn't demagogue anymore about gays and lesbians because too many of us are out and too many people know us. So they took the same old script. Oh, they're recruiting children, preying on children, threatening children, creeping in bathrooms. That was the script. That was what they said about gay men 40 years ago. And they're just taking that and applying it now to trans women. And it's bullshit. And trans women and men use bathrooms all over the country and have forever. And they have actually no cases to point to where a trans person has exploited a civil rights protection to prey on a child.
But
there are lots
I
of cases
the
where...
argument?
Wait, is it about Mexicans?
It isn't. Well, I could make it about Mexicans.
Instead of building a wall, we need to build a stall that's beautiful, tremendous, huge.
Maybe that's what Trump meant.
Yeah.
They build stalls all along the border.
Right.
And I'll make Caitlyn Jenner pay for it. No. Trump said Caitlyn could use the bathroom.
No, he's good on this issue.
Exactly.
And he doesn't care about drugs.
That's right.
I think we're growing up as a society. And, you know, there's even discrimination, prejudice
out
there.
No, I think it's
a
temporary respite. I think that people hate Mexicans. The Republican base hated Mexicans. It's more racist than they are transphobic. And so Trump won that. But it'll be back. We're relitigating
Wait.
I can't make the alternative argument.
Yes, please.
We could get back to that.
Yes,
first of all, I completely reject the comparison of either Mexicans, since you brought them up, illegal aliens or gays, to the black experience in America. And I think that's an important point that always needs to be made.
And I agree
with
that.
They're brought here as slaves and discriminated against. That is a special experience, and I hate that comparison all the time. And I would say that the argument on the bathrooms, it's not that transgendered people are going to go and molest children. It's that once you say men can go into women's bathrooms, men who are out shopping with their little daughters and don't have mommy to bring her in there, it's not that the trans are going to molest them. It's that a child molester now has the right to go into that bathroom.
That's bullshit. A child molester doesn't need to put on a dress to enter a bathroom. You can Google sexually assaulted in a restroom, and you get thousands of examples of cisgendered straight men.
You know who the child molester is? It's Dennis Hastert.
Yes.
Who was sitting watching boys shower year after year in a lazy boy chair because he wanted to make sure nothing weird was going on in there. So he watched the boys shower. I saw in the paper today, Joe Paterno was aware of Jerry Sandusky in 1976. This is the child molesting.
It's not about that. That makes your argument against Republicans and doesn't make your argument for him that...
Okay.
Men will not become
Let me get back to the bigger, more important point, which is, and it's good, I think the Republican Party has gotten over their obsession with these web issues.
I don't think
issues, I'm sorry. Because Donald Trump, they had their choice to pick Rick Santorum, Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz, all these people who prayed their way across the country, and they opted for the New Yorker with three wives who doesn't give a shit about any of this. Yeah.
He doesn't care about gay marriage. He doesn't care about where people go to the bathroom. I mean, he says, nobody reads the Bible more than me. No one actually believes.
Number two, Corinthians. Number two.
Number two.
I was going number two Corinthians at the time.
So this is good news.
I mean, I think it's a temp. I don't think you can attach that to it yet. Let's wait three more election cycles and see. Because we're relitigating access to birth control. We thought that was a settled issue, that even people who opposed abortion were for birth control. But suddenly,
Bobby Jindal made Plan B, or he wants to make a contraception. He's a religious Catholic, or was a governor of Louisiana. He wanted to make it over the counter. I worry about some of the same issues. I don't think this is temporary. Only 26% of the population identifies as.
I was going to say maybe it's time for a viable third party that is socially conscious but yet fiscally responsible. What happened to those people?
Those are called Democrats.
No, they're called Trumpsters. Yeah.
It's the Democratic Party.
It's the Libertarian Party.
So but now that we're in a place where the only thing that perhaps stands between us and the end of civilization is Hillary Clinton. What should Hillary's strategy be against Donald Trump? Because I saw she was trying to trot out, and I think they're just testing things now, that he is a loose cannon. I don't know if that's going to work. I think that's what his fans like about him, that he is a Great Dane released into a toddler's birthday party. He just fucks everything up. How do you go at this guy who is a walking brain fart, who will say anything? Because certainly the Republicans, the other ones, never found a strategy that even touched Godzilla. What should be her strategy
against
Trump?
But the Republican other candidates were competing for the votes of the batshit Republican base. We're in a different place now.
But wait,
general
so
election.
You're voting for Hillary, right?
Of course I'm voting for Hillary.
Of course. I mean, you know, this is, we don't have, you know, we have two bad choices as far as I'm concerned. They're equally and in their own ways.
The lesser of two evils is less evil.
No, but what I'm saying
she's
but I don't
and I don't think she's evil, but pivoting off his argument that she's terrible. Okay, I concede that.
What I'm
which
saying,
I don't.
So what is her strategy then? Because the minute she starts talking about stuff, people are going to be like, I remember why I didn't vote for her in 2008.
Right.
I remember that she's an idiot who said that, you know, fucking, you know, that Libya, she points to the invasion of Libya in her latest book and still talks about it as a great moment of smart power. It's like, are you fucking kidding?
Okay,
we've destroyed a country.
First of all, it wasn't her decision. She wasn't the president.
She defended it.
We didn't invade Libya. It was a humanitarian mission.
Well, are you kidding?
You know what?
Bill, you're anti-war,
first of all,
right?
Ronald Reagan would have done the exact same thing.
So what?
Of course he would have.
He absolutely would not.
What you're saying, you are anti-war, right? In general. What were we doing in Libya? And how can you say how did it work out well?
It didn't work out well, but you're forgetting about why it happened. Because people were about to be slaughtered by Gaddafi.
Please.
Yes, you conveniently forget that.
Yeah, no.
What happened is that Obama made a speech that, again, if it was Ronald Reagan, you would have gotten a hard-on for.
I absolutely
where he said the United States is not like any other country. We can't just ignore shit like this.
You're absolutely wrong.
The United States is different. And they all got a tear in their eye.
You're absolutely wrong.
No, that's exactly what happened.
Do you agree with Trump?
The true Reagan policy, not like these pretenders.
Cut and run?
No, do you know?
Like he did in Lebanon?
That's a good. That was the right move.
Everyone remembers.
That was the right move.
Shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Okay.
But he put us there.
I'm just
trying to find an answer to the question.
Yeah. Reagan
because
had
I don't
three military interventions. There were 250 people killed.
What?
That's the big cowboy, you know, Mr. I'm going to go constantly bomb people. There were three military interventions under Reagan in 8 years.
Yeah, by today's Republican Party standards, Reagan was a Democrat.
Two were killed in bombing Libya.
Reagan couldn't win the Republican nomination.
And then there were
amnesty
the Marines
for millions
of
years.
And that's it. These new Republicans want to go to war constantly,
Hillary?
And the Democrats
yes.
are
Hillary
going to
should
war.
Stay focused on the issues and take the high ground. So it shows greater contrast to her opponent. Don't get sucked into his energy. If you get sucked into that vortex, she will swirl down the toilet.
Right. I agree with that.
Stay calm and stay confident.
I think her best move, I'm with the two of them, her best move is to get indicted so that no one hears her talk anymore, because if she's just out of the picture.
Dream on. Yeah. Indicted for what?
I'm coming up with strategies for her. I'm not saying she should be.
And you know what? Nobody hates Hillary once she's in. Everybody hated Hillary when she was running for the Senate. Once she was a senator, everybody loves Hillary. Everybody hated Hillary when she was running for president. Once she was Secretary of State, we saw her all the time.
She
did a great job. She was a very
then why
pop culture
does she have a 55% unfavorable?
Maybe there is a right-wing hit machine that's been after her for 30 years and
that's
had an
exactly
impact.
Right.
Oh, please.
That's exactly
so
why.
So Hillary is, there's nothing wrong with Hillary. Hillary is the perfect
candidate. We didn't say there's nothing wrong with her. She's not even our first choice.
This is what I'm saying, though. She is unliked. Okay, and
so who the fuck are you voting for?
I am going to vote for Paul Ryan when he makes his decision. I'm going to vote for the Libertarian candidate.
Who the hell is that?
It's probably going to be Gary Johnson. But wait. Here, it's a former two-term governor of New Mexico who got a million votes last
time. I love Libertarians, but they never succeed in the Libertarian market of getting votes.
Yeah, sure. And there's a reason for that. Okay. You know, there's a reason for
All right. Everybody, shut the fuck up. It's time for new rules. Neural, now that Hamilton, a musical where black and Hispanic men play singing, dancing founding fathers, has garnered a record 16 Tony nominations, someone has to write a show where boring white guys play slaves who just stand there and talk and call it 12 years of primary. Neural, the biomedical company that announced plans to bring dead people back to life through stem cell therapy, must promise to never use it on Abraham Lincoln. Because if he saw what happened to his party, he'd head straight back to the theater. Neural, Thai restaurants and Thai massage parlors must merge and offer a rub and grub combo special. Oh, they'll do it. Neural, the biotech company that wants to use drones to deliver organs to patients has to not do that. Imagine telling a patient, the good news is we found a donor. The bad news is your liver is stuck in a tree. Neural, this couple caught openly having sex on a subway platform have to hurry up and finish already. It's frustrating enough wondering when the train is gonna come. And finally, Neural, since 80 countries in the world have elected a woman leader, but not the United States of us, yet. We must admit that when it comes to being progressive, we are often late to the party. And if you need further proof, this Sunday, which is Mother's Day, think about the fact that when my mother was born, women in America could not vote. My mother. Not some far distant relative I discovered on Ancestry.com. My mother, who was born in 1919, the year before women got the vote. Of course, by the time she had me in 1956, things for women had really changed. How much? I'll leave that to Rex Harrison to explain. He played Professor Henry Higgins when My Fair Lady opened on Broadway in 1956. Hit it, Rex.
But women are irrational. That's all there is to that. Their heads are full of cotton, hay, and rags. They're nothing but exasperating, irritating, vacillating, calculating, agitating, maddening, and infuriating hags.
And he's the hero. But that was how women were viewed in the 1950s. Irrational, pouty, vain, thin-skinned, hysterical, and just not that bright. Does that sound like anyone we know today? Who? Oh, yeah. Him. Yes, Donald Trump, who says that if Hillary Clinton was a man, she wouldn't get 5% of the vote. And if Trump was a man, he'd stop whining like a little bitch. This is a guy who actually brags about his prowess at whining.
I am a whiner, and I'm a whiner, and I keep whining and whining until I win.
Yes, it's the I Love Lucy school of diplomacy. Hey!
Does anyone fit the stereotypical 50s description of a woman better than Donald Trump? Any cringe-inducing line they ever said about a secretary on Mad Men is true about Trump. And yet, he's the one with the penis. And we know that because if you make fun of it, he'll be up all night tweeting about how great it is. He accuses Megyn Kelly of being menstrual, but for him, that time of the month is always. Has there anyone ever been anyone more thin-skinned? I made a joke about his father being an orangutan once, and he marched into court with his birth certificate and sued me because he's a whiny little bitch, and if he's not suing you... If he's not suing you, he's threatening to sue you or demanding an apology or threatening to spill the beans. He did that a few months ago when he was still battling Ted Cruz and someone posted a picture of his wife he didn't like, so he tweeted he'd spill the beans about Ted's wife and then literally told the press he started it. Just like Teddy Roosevelt would do. Yes, a billionaire and a United States senator in the girls' shower throwing tampons at Carrie. I sure hope this man gets elected so the world respects us again. And I mean this in no way to disparage vaginas, but what a pussy. I mean, who gets more hysterical than Lady Donald Trump seeing Mexican rapists everywhere? Oh, my salts, we must build a wall, a giant wall, and ban all the Muslims. It makes Lindsey Graham look like Vin Diesel. This isn't presidential, it's Glenn Close boiling the rabbit. And, like the daffy, typical housewife of the 50s, Lady Trump is the one who can't balance a checkbook. Trump Airlines, Trump Casinos, Trump University, Trump Steaks. He's got the Midas touch of every time Midas touched something, it exploded. I could go on, but instead, I'd like to turn it back over to Rex Harrison to sum it all up.
Why is thinking something women never do? And why is logic never even tried? Straightening up their hair is all they ever do. Why don't they straighten up the mess that's inside?
So... So never forget, Lady Trump, that Hillary Clinton was born a woman, but you chose to live your life as a... Say it with me, won't you? Whiny little bitch. Which is why if Hillary is the Democratic nominee, I'll be voting for the only one who has balls. All right, that's our show. I'll be at the King Center in Melbourne, Florida, May 15th, and at the Mirage back in Vegas, July 22nd and 23rd. I want to thank Nick Gillespie, Dan Savage, Ann Coulter, Brian Crenson, and Richard Tate. Join us now for Overtime on YouTube. Thank you, folks.
Catch all new episodes of Real Time with Bill Maher every Friday night at 10, or watch him anytime on HBO On Demand. For more information, log on to HBO.com.